Good evening. Thank you, Victoria. It's such a pleasure and an honor to be on. I'm on the West Coast, so sometimes my schedule's still a little bit too booked up to join all the time, but I always love connecting with the tribe and spending time with all of you as much as I can. So it's a pleasure for me tonight to be able to just share some things that the Lord's putting on my heart. And as I was praying and just seeking the Lord, asking Him what He wanted me to share on, I felt like the focus that He wanted me to spend our time together on has to do with leading through change. And you know, we're in the midst of change all across the world. We're constantly being subject to change. But one of the as a believer and a leader in the marketplace is not only knowing how to respond well to change, but also to lead in the midst of it, to be able to get in front of the different changes that both at us and the things that will lead us into establishing the things the Lord has called us to establish. And a lot of the principles that that we can leverage within the kingdom, they're tools that are being developed in different arenas as well. Over the last couple of years, I've really spent a significant amount of time doing research, learning, digging into different processes, different methodologies regarding leadership and management. And the interesting thing is most of the classes and the courses and the training that I've been going through are secular, for the lack of a better term. So it's not I have found some respectable resources, as I'm sure all of you have in the Christian community. But the majority of the focus that I've had over the last couple of years has been in leadership in the marketplace. And what I've been finding is that a lot of the tools, a lot of the principles that are being taught just in the open market are really based in godly principles. And the thing that's been surprising and encouraging to me is that as I've spent the last 40 plus years of my life seeking the Lord, pursuing His kingdom, pursuing the plans and the purposes that He has for my life, and spending time in the Word, spending time just seeking Him for what I can do to be more effective at leading in the body of Christ and leading in the marketplace in a way that brings glory to His kingdom and establishes His kingdom wherever I'm at. The things that He's been teaching me and training me through my process are just being affirmed through different courses, different methodologies that I've been exposed to through my research over the last couple of years. And I think one of the things that I've really enjoyed is a lot of the principles and the methodologies, the processes and the procedures that I've learned through my journey are now being given some vocabulary. There's some common nomenclature that's wrapped around some of these processes and methodologies that it just affirms, it adds some structure, and it gives us a common language to be able to guide us through some of the different challenges that we have or some of the different scenarios where, like me, I'm sure you're looking to the Lord in those different situations and saying, okay, how can I partner with your kingdom purposes? How can I establish your kingdom in the midst of this circumstance? And as people in the marketplace, and specifically kingdom people in the marketplace, we have this dual objective that we want to establish things in the natural realm in a way that's efficient, in a way that is productive and fruitful, but also simultaneously brings glory and honor to the Lord and lifts up His kingdom and lifts up His name. So having those combined objectives within the things that we do, having different tools in our toolkit, so to speak, to be able to pull out in those various scenarios is a must for leaders in kingdom business. So one thing that I wanted to share with you tonight is it's an acronym that is used in change management methodologies. You may have heard about it, and you may not have, but as I was praying about tonight and what the Lord would have me share, this is what came to my heart. And the acronym, it's ADCAR. It's A. A is in Apple, D is in Delta, K is a kite, I guess. A is in Apple, R is in radar. So it's the ADCAR change management model. And the acronym, I'm just going to give you what each word represents, and then we'll spend a little bit of time talking about what each phase of the change process looks like and what are some of the different aspects of those phases of the change. The primary goal of going over this information is as we approach the different changes that whether we're trying to communicate change, whether it's within our family, whether it's within our church or ministry, whether it's in the marketplace, these principles are very valuable in helping us to shepherd the people that are in our lives and to help guide them through those processes. So the words for the acronym, first of all, A is awareness, and that's part of the pre-contemplation process, so that's where we're really getting started. B is desire, and that's the contemplation process. K is knowledge, that's part of the preparation process. A is ability, and that's part of the action, part of the process, and R is for reinforcement, and that goes into the maintenance phase. So as far as awareness, if you are in the process of implementing some type of change, whether, like I said, in your business or your ministry, one of the first things that we need to focus on is creating an awareness around the overall change that needs to take place. And that's where you start to present the questions. You're thinking through the processes. What is working in my organization? What isn't working? You know, what are the things that we're running up against that are causing issues or that need to be addressed? You know, what are the options? What are some of the options that we're running that we have to be able to address this? Helping to create some awareness around that there is a problem. Sometimes in the midst of the day-to-day business, there isn't even the awareness of certain problems or certain issues. A lot of us are, you know, people are just heads down. Your team is working on specifically addressing the responsibilities that they have, or whether it's in your family or ministry. A lot of times we're so wrapped up in the details that we might not even be aware that there's something that does need to change. A lot of times we run into a certain comfort level in the midst of the familiar. So, you know, this is the way that we've been doing things for 20 years, and, you know, why should we change it now? Or this is what we're comfortable with. Change is an uncomfortable process. Even good change, positive change, has been proven to be something that stirs up resistance, because there's something in us that we really like the predictable. We really like to be able to know what to expect. You know, today we want to be able to know what to expect tomorrow. So starting to socialize the issues that need to be addressed is a part of that awareness step. The other thing is that we're focusing attention on the most important reasons to change. So as you're beginning to communicate this process and laying the groundwork for change, including that focus, like bringing attention to the specific reasons that we need to change. And that feeds into the second step, which is desire. And people, first of all, they don't, you know, they'll resist change if they don't see the value in it. And the other thing is that even if you get them to work through the change, it won't be sustainable, which we'll get to when we talk about reinforcement. But a key component of implementing and successfully managing the change process is going to be tied to communicating the benefits of adopting the change. You know, how is this going to benefit us? What are the risks if we don't do this change? So taking that time to communicate what the benefits are, communicate what the risks of not changing would be, and begin addressing the fears. So a lot of times change is going to provoke fears, fear of the unknown, fear of not being an expert. So one of the things in the change management process is that you're taking someone who's functioning at a high level or a higher level, and you're saying, hey, this thing that you're comfortable with doing, we're going to change that now. So basically, that's a risk for a person saying, hey, if I have to learn something new, maybe I'm not going to be as good at it as I was at doing it the old way. And that change or that potential fear of not being able to do that, that might have a social impact. Maybe certain people are gaining some level of affirmation or acceptance because of their level of expertise, and now you're presenting the option of taking that away. So those are some of the key components of really laying the groundwork for successful change and helping people to navigate through that. This is where you begin to generate buy-in. And if, you know, through that communication process, understanding what the fears are so you can address them, so you can help to present the risk-benefit analysis and to highlight the importance of having those changes. So the next phase is knowledge. Once we have the awareness, we're talking about the reason for the change, you know, what is the change, why are we doing it? Now we need to know how to do it. So as we're leading people through the change process, a big piece of that is making sure that they have the tools, making sure that they have the technical skills, make sure that any new frameworks of knowledge are being presented to them in a succinct way that they'll be able to act on, giving them time and letting them know that, hey, this is something that we can work on together, creating open forums for the exchange of knowledge. So if you're working with a team and you're bringing this team through that, it's creating an environment that, first of all, we can identify where the knowledge needs to be reinforced, but then also to leverage that teamwork where people understand what their role is in the specifics of that change. And also within the knowledge phases, you're beginning to set forth reasonable time targets. You know, how long is this going to take? What's our projected timeline? What are some milestones that we can set up to make sure that we're on track? So that falls into the knowledge category. A, ability. So as you're working through laying these foundations into the different areas of ramping up to that, where now people, they understand what needs to change, why it needs to change, and how the change is going to take place, then there's a focus on making sure that people have the ability and partnering with them on the specifics. So that may include training, and depending on the level of change and the level of effort that you're in the process of implementing or bringing people through, that may be a certification. It may be as simple as holding some training sessions, you know, some lunch and learns, all the way to making sure that people have the additional external training, sending them to a training course or a class of some kind, learning about the governance framework and participating in that knowledge transfer and training aspect, so everyone knows how, not only what needs to be done, but how they can do it to develop those skills. And the thing about working in these different areas is making sure that things are being done in the open, that people understand what are the processes, what are the things that specifically will need to be done. And when you're in this area, you're actually continuing to reinforce the steps that you've taken up to this point. It's increasing the overall awareness of why this needs to happen. You're being given opportunities to your staff or your employees on that buy-in, that opportunity to buy in. And through the knowledge, the more abilities that they are developing, the more confidence that they're going to have, that's going to address those fears that they had previously that, hey, maybe this is going to be a negative impact where I couldn't do it before. Then you're mitigating those fears through giving them the tools and the practical insight that they need to be able to address that and be successful in implementing that change through its full cycle. So as you've gone through these steps and you've built these first four layers, and that's the point where now you're ready to engage. You're ready to push forward through into that new state, that current state. So you've gone through the process of preparation, you've gone through the process of enablement, and then you're moving through the process of change and engagement, and then it goes into the reinforcement. So one of the areas that that I've experienced and as a consultant and as a person that's traveled and worked with different organizations, different ministries, different teams, a lot of times people do a great job at getting through the change, but then they don't follow through. Or as soon as the change is done, they don't get the time to stabilize or to allow people's experience levels to get up to that point where they can continue it forward. Or they just don't follow through with the expectation that, hey, this is the new way to do that and create systems to be able to reinforce and push that agenda forward, whatever that change is. One of the things that it's important to do when you're in this reinforcement, in this maintenance phase, is to develop champions. Have people that understand and know the process, that believe in it, that they have that buy-in, and then encourage them to continue to work with the rest of the team or the individuals that you have as a part of that. As they're pushing that forward, you know, they're developing a coaching process and an accountability. So that helps to build that momentum up as they're moving forward. Over the years of working through change, and interestingly enough, I feel that it's been one of the things that the Lord has led me consistently into both ministries, organizations, businesses, of all sizes, that the season that the Lord brought me into those different situations was right in the midst of very significant change. So I've been able to observe these processes and these principles, and I can tell you that any change process can fail if any one of these areas is lacking. So you could have, you know, all the awareness and the knowledge and the ability. You could even have a system of reinforcement, but if there's a lack of desire people won't sustain engagement in things that they don't believe in. So by missing that one step of the process, basically your whole plan, your whole strategy has been undermined by missing that one key pillar in the process. And it goes with each one of those levels of the process, that if you're low in one area, then that specific area can keep you from ultimate success in that area, and to being able to successfully champion that change or lead through that change for your organization, for your company, for your family, even personally, the change process that we're going through, even relationally, as believers, there are things where we need to, or we can tie into these same principles, these pillars, to work through our own process of change and to manage that. There are actually resources that are available online. One of the things that I've done when I'm managing a specific change is creating like a survey, an online survey, where I can ask key questions that are specifically categorized in each one of these areas of the change process. And as I'm surveying my team or the organization that I'm working with on each one, you know, what awareness. So I'll develop questions about the awareness. Do you understand why this is important? Do you know what the risk would be if this is not successful? Do you see the benefit of having this? So having those different categories, and then asking, do you feel like you understand the skills that you'll need to have? Do you know the information? Do you have the information that you feel that you need in order to be successful? Or into the next category, do you feel like you have the ability? Do you have everything that you need to be able to do that? And then finally, do you feel like this is something that would be able to continue? Do you see any issues with this initiative or this change to be sustainable? So as you ask those questions to get an idea on where people are, you'll be able to see if there's an area where there's a consistent low level of response in any one of those areas, then that gives you insight into how you can strategize to build that specific area up. And that will give you the framework across the team. Each one of these areas should be strong. You should have a high level of knowledge and understanding and acceptance in each one of these areas in order to assist you in implementing the full change. So I hope that's helpful. I know it's a lot of information, but these principles are. And if you want additional information or insight, feel free to reach out to me, Luke@kbabiz.com. I'd be more than happy to share more with you. And Victoria, if you want, we can open up the lines, just open it up for questions and comments.
Everybody is unmuted. If you have any questions, you're welcome to ask Luke.
This is Bill in Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Hey, Bill.
How you doing, Luke?
Good.
How's things? I know you've got a new situation there in your job out there in the West Coast. Have you, I mean, in your capacity in that job, have you implemented change in your own life? Maybe you could be a little specific about some things you've personally experienced regarding change.
Yeah, I'm actually working at a large healthcare organization in California right now in a leadership role. And has happened multiple times throughout my career, this organization is in the midst of some really major changes, not the least of which has been over the last year with COVID-19. I've co-led two task force. The first one was the COVID-19 task force a year ago, and then most recently the COVID-19 vaccine task force. So those have been a couple of the roles that I've had to fill. And in the midst of it, there are just a high number of changes that have had, you know, we've had to implement due to the changes in the information, changes in the government regulations, changes in the CDC and the FDA and their recommendations from a healthcare standpoint. So in order to successfully manage the high level of changes that consistently take place through a large organization such as this, these principles have been really critical in order to be able to sustain not only the size, but the quantity and the frequency of the changes.
Sounds like you've been through a lot out there in the healthcare business through this COVID thing.
Yeah, it's been a journey, for sure.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So who else do we have on the line?
Luke? Hello?
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, this is Ron Castriano.
Hey, Ron. How are you, my friend?
Good. I haven't been doing a lot of the conference calls lately, but when I heard that you were going to be on, it was funny. I was talking to one of the guys in the men's group the other night, Lars, I think it was, and he used to be part of our group when we were doing the prophetic thing. And he had mentioned something. He's called into something now. It looks really exciting what God's going to be doing with him. But he said he had been looking over prophecies that he had received, you know, that people had given to him. Uh-huh. And so I said, yeah, I said a lot of that stuff came out of when we were with Luke's group there, you know. And I said, it's funny you mentioned that, I said to him, because Luke has been on my mind for the last week and a half. And so then I open up the email today, you know, when it talks about the conference call tonight and that you were going to be on the conference call. I said, well, this is weird. I mean, I haven't, you know, talked to him probably a couple of years now. And then I haven't, it's not that I don't think of you. I think of every once in a while, but
sure.
I thought this is really strange. And I felt like the Lord was saying that you were coming into a place where you were going to be really used powerfully. And, So I'm excited about that, and I almost feel like you're going to be with this these things that you're talking about tonight. I think there may be a connection there where you might go into other companies too and share these truths. So, anyways, I just want you to know that I've been on, you've been on my mind, you know, and.
Okay.
I remember one of the last words that God had given me for you was your approval rate has never been higher. And so when you were going out there, I was actually excited for you because I felt like it was a new kind of pioneering thing and new territory for you that you were going to – something powerful was going to happen out of that anyways. But anyways, I'm glad that that I was able to listen tonight to what you're talking about.
Well, thank you, Ron, and thank you for sharing what the Lord's laying on your heart. It's really a confirmation, and it's so good to hear you.
It's good to hear you too.
Who else do we have on? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Ingrid. I'm listening in from Indiana, and thank you for sharing this evening. I have a question regarding if change management methodology could be equally effective across all seven mountains, and if so, does it have to be initiated top down by, say, C-level executives?
Great questions, Ingrid. First part of the question is, across all seven mountains. And that was the thing that I think as I was pressing into this and going through some of the courses and the change management for leadership training, that I thought, you know, these are really the really key principles. I mean, let's, like Ron had mentioned, my wife Helen and I were prophetic captains at Morningstar, and we had a team of about 40 people. If everyone showed up at the same time, we had about 40 people on our team. But these are all key components of what we were working to do with our team to create the awareness, helping people understand the need and the importance of the prophetic in the lives of people. And then from a desire standpoint that, you know, hey, these are the risk, these are the benefit. Now, this is the outcome if we, if we're accurate at hearing what the Lord is saying and being able to communicate that in a way that it, the level of impact that has on someone's life. It's profound, and we saw that over and over again. So being able to talk about those things and to help cultivate that desire, but then into the area of knowledge, it's like, okay, we understand why it's important, and we understand, you know, the benefits of it and how critical it is, and we're aware of the needs, but how do we do that? What are the steps? What are the components? So we worked on the knowledge part. And then the ability. It's like, okay, so we've been going through teachings, but what we did a lot of time doing was practicing, you know, working with each other in the in the prophetic team in our training times, where we would practice on each other. We would encourage each other in that, and then also putting folks in the position where they're actually able to stretch and to meet with people coming to Morningstar for a conference or whatever. So we would break up into teams and partner people with someone who's more experienced, but then you're in a place where you're able to learn some of those abilities. And then from a reinforcement that we just, you know, regularly getting together and encouraging one another and lifting each other up. So you can see each one of those components was integrated into the process of helping. And in this case, the change was helping people come from a place of wanting to learn and how to function in the prophetic, bringing them through that whole process to where not only were they able to function in that, but they could also help train other people. So that's just one example in the church mountain, but even with family. Or in business, I use this principle all the time. It's a key part of what I do because I'm constantly leading my teams through change of some kind. But those are some specifics of what that looks like.
Great, thank you for those examples.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for the question, Ingrid.
Hey, Luke. This is Rosa from Rhode Island.
Hey.
I have a thank you for sharing all those points, key components. I found myself having resistance the most in the reinforcement area, the maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips on getting over that?
No, it's such a huge, and I've ran into that consistently as well. Usually, one of the first things that I'll do is I will go through the process of checking each one of the other areas. You know, is there sufficient awareness around why the change was important or why it's it needs to happen. What was the problem that we were trying to fix to begin through the change? So I'll spend time making sure that understanding is there, that awareness, and then going to the desire that I'm asking questions around, what benefits do you see you know, what risks do you see if we accomplish this change? What I typically find is there are areas where I'm low on something. Sometimes it's knowledge. People just don't really fully understand. I haven't done a good enough job communicating the fullness of the change expecting, or in the ability where I haven't taken that extra time to train or to mentor the person to be able to do what I'm asking them to do. And for whatever reason, people can be reluctant to admit those things, you know, reluctant to admit they don't know. I've had people, you know, in a meeting, teaching or training, talking about things, ask if there are any questions. Nobody says anything. Then later when I'm, you know, one-on-one and I'm working these things with an individual, I find that they really didn't understand, but they just felt awkward bringing it up. And so that's the first thing that I do. And then in the other, if I really filled in those gaps on those first four levels and it's still not gaining momentum, then I look for opportunities to follow up. And, you know, it's like, hey, let's check back in a week and see how we're doing. And I'll create some mechanisms of accountability, not from the standpoint that, hey, if you don't have this done, you're in trouble, but more, hey, let's check in and make sure, let's see what questions that you have, see what you feel we can do better. But to have those regular touch points until people feel comfortable, and I've made sure that they have areas where they're solid in those. So that's where I would start.
Yeah, and then do you find yourself in a position, in a situation where all those five still don't work, so that you feel, okay, then this change is probably not worth doing? Do you understand?
Yeah, you know,
reevaluating. Reevaluating.
Yeah, I, you know, there have been things where, you know, after all the work, there's some things that just didn't work. I work hard at doing my due diligence up front. To mitigate those things. I really don't want to have to spend all of that time and effort into doing something that's not sustainable. So that's, it does happen, but I try to mitigate that as much as possible by really doing a lot of legwork up front and making sure that I'm 100% in one of those areas before I lead my team through it. And the other situation is, and I ran into this a lot over the last year, is that going through the change process, but before we're even completely done with the change, there are variables that have been introduced that change everything. Now, for example, you know, the healthcare organization that I work for, it's 65,000 employees. So when we were first starting with this COVID thing, the CDC and you know, the World Health Organization are saying, like, well, you know, you need to ask people if they've been to China in the last 12 days. So we created the build and the infrastructure within the healthcare medical record system to have those screening questions. So anyone that would show up at any location, it would be asked, hey, have you been to China in the last, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it was? So, you know, a couple weeks later, they said, yeah, we don't need to ask that. We need to ask if they had a fever or if they had lightheadedness or whatever the first symptoms were. So now we have to bring this new change that completely undoes all the work that we just did. We have to change that, and then now we're moving forward to different variables. So that's another scenario where, you know, stuff happens that's out of our control, the change, and so work that we do, bringing people through that change process, really, you know, it doesn't come to fruition. But I think for the most part, except in those kind of cases, if we really do our upfront work, there's a high level of success when we follow this methodology.
Okay. Oh, thank you. That's very good to
you. You're welcome. All right, who else is online? Anybody else out there? I can't see who's on the list, so feel free to say hi if you want or if you have a question. Okay, well, Victoria, you want me to close in prayer, or do you want to?
Yes, please. Yes, please. You can close up in prayer.
All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time, and thank you for appointing us for such a time as this. Lord, you knew the season that we would be in and the changes that each one of us would be called to help shepherd the people that you've brought into our lives through. And Lord, I pray that you would give each person, each one of us, wisdom and insight in how we can be most effective at leading people through the change that you've called them to, Lord. And whether it's in their relationship with you and learning how to walk in the fullness of life that you have provided, or if it's in family, navigating the changes in our family or business or ministry. Father, I pray your shalom, your peace, your protection over each and every person here, and that whatever seeds that information that would be helpful, Lord, I pray that you would just seal those within the hearts of each person that's on tonight or that listens to the recording, Lord, that your blessings would continue to multiply and that you would continue to increase our skill and capacity to be leaders in the marketplace for your kingdom and for your glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Luke, and thank you, everybody, for your time, for joining us for the coaching call.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you. Have a great evening, everybody.
Thank you, Victoria.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody. I'm finishing up the conference.